So Donald Trump is alive. That is something we know almost for sure. I'm Cam from Bulwark. I'm joined today by my friend Adam Mockler from Midas and from Mockler Media. And Adam, I want to ask you a question in this video. I want to explore something. Do you think he got away with the Epstein stuff?
Do I think he got away with it? Broadly, yes. He's gotten away with a lot of things. He's gotten away with the stolen documents, with January 6th, with the elector scheme. And I guess I just want to, like, I can ask you what you mean by got away with it, but when you go back to the worst of the worst, which is the early 2000s, when Jeffrey Epstein was, you know, really ramping up his sex trafficking operation, and then obviously it extended into the late 2010s, early 2010s, but back in the early 2000s, when Donald Trump was best friends with Jeffrey Epstein, this was the peak of Jeffrey Epstein's sex trafficking operation. Trump was sending him sexual innuendos. He was holding closed door parties with him in 1993, 1998. They held parties with just them and so-called calendar girls. So did he get away with it? Yes. The worst of the worst that occurred in the early 2000s, which you can fill in the blanks of what he did when he admitted that he knew Jeffrey Epstein liked them young. That's Trump's words. He likes them young. When he admitted on Air Force One that he knew Jeffrey Epstein was taking young girls from the Mar-a-Lago spa. So did he get away with that? Yes. Now, in the broader sense, did he escape the media narrative that's been chasing him for the past few weeks? Sort of.
I mean, the media narrative right now is what I said at the beginning of the video, which is, oh, so he's alive. Like, I feel like with the military takeovers of big cities and with whatever he's going to be rolling out next, like, look, we've got Robert Garcia on House Oversight. It's a really great situation to be in for the Democrats because he is a young person in a leadership position. And I know that it sounds kind of ironic to call somebody in his late 40s a young person. But as far as politicians go, Robert Garcia is basically a little tyke.
He's spry.
Yeah, you got to hand it to him. He is. He looks great. When I found out he was in his later 40s, I was like, I thought this dude was like 35. But Garcia has made it clear that he is not going to let up on this and that in his position on the, you know, running House Oversight for the Democrats, he is going to push and push and push, and they're not going to let this issue go. But I mean, even the Republicans who were maybe actually going to start to turn on him about this and say, listen, they need to release the files, because there were Republicans who weren't, you know, addressing the fact that Donald Trump is obviously in these and that his own administration was told that he's in them. Like, even the Republicans who weren't addressing that were still saying, okay, well, they should release the files. And now I feel like that's gone too. Like, maybe Thomas Massie is still on it.
Some more independent Republicans are pushing for it, but I'd like to think that history will be written with the truth. Not only with January 6th.
As it so famously is.
yeah. But I'd like to think that with the advent of social media and everything, in 20 years, people will look back at Jeffrey Epstein and it'll be closely associated with the Trump presidency. Has he escaped the consequences immediately? Yes. But I mean, I made a video earlier about it and people are still very, very interested in talking about it. It's still attached. And at the very least, it's created less dogmatic supporters. I mean, I've seen a few people, and these are bad examples, but like Aiden Ross or the Sneeko types who were really big MAGA throughout the election, they're more just like, yeah, this is some weird stuff. Joe Rogan had a clip the other day where he was like, this is some weird shit. So I think that he largely did escape it.
Can I tell you something? I was on a date yesterday and I was talking to this girl about rich people. And we were talking about how people with real wealth normally talk about it less than people with the gilded wealth, where they can afford to buy you a nice bag and Uber you everywhere and make it appear as though they're really rich and take you on the fancy dates. You know, I feel like the people who have the kind of fake showy money talk about it less. And the people with the actual generational wealth that makes you like a rich, rich, rich person are they're a little bit more chill about it, generally speaking. But then I cited an example of someone I know who's the opposite, who comes from a billionaire family. And I mentioned to this girl that his grandfather was named in the Epstein files. And she looks at me and says, what are the Epstein files?
Really?
And I was like, are you fucking serious? Like, listen, she comes from a very different walk of life and she doesn't have the same background as me. And she just exists in kind of a different reality almost. So, you know, I guess she's just from a circle of people in this world who are not familiar with kind of the biggest scandal of our lifetime.
I can't lie. This is really common, though. I can't tell you how many times I've tried to joke with my friends about some stuff that I thought broke through the political realm and was more popular than it was. And they're like, what? I think I used the word woke, ironically, around friends. They're like, what does that mean? Like, they never really heard the context of woke like a year ago.
Other example is I was talking to a girl at a party. This was just somebody I was chatting with. This wasn't a flirtation or anything. Yesterday was a date. This was just me, you know, saying hello to somebody. We were at a rooftop party. It was very chill. I like to socialize. So I started talking to this girl. She likes yoga. So do I. I need to do it more often. Regular conversation. And she said, so how's your day been? And this was in 2022, the day that Roe v. Wade got overturned. So I made a wry joke where I was like, better than yours. And she said, what do you mean? And I said, oh, just an, you know, unfair, cruel joke about how Roe v. Wade just got overturned. And she says, what's Roe v. Wade? And I went, look, this was in California. This is when I was living in LA. So she doesn't really have to worry if she's in California. And I told her that. I was like, well, listen, if you ever want access to reproductive care and women's health resources, you'll be fine. But she was like my age. Maybe
she's like,
older.
Who's Roe and who's Wade? And why are they,
fighting?
Well, yeah, what's wrong with them? Yeah.
So I tell the story about the Epstein Files thing to my FY Pod co-host at Bulwark, Tim Miller. I text him. I'm like, Tim, you're not going to believe this shit. And he said he's experienced something similar too. But he says he actually learned to love it because it's almost like, you know, we're politics junkies. If you're watching this, you're probably something of a politics junkie. Tim was saying, when you meet someone like that, you get to enter this fantasy world where the things that concern you just don't bother them. You know, like when you and I are in our social circles, the people we hang out with, generally speaking, will know about tariffs and they'll know about bad voter registration numbers for Zoomers and everything. And this girl yesterday, bless her heart, is just too busy trying to be a human being to be aware of, again, like the biggest conspiracy scandal of our lifetime. So, and as soon as we're done recording this video, I'm going to go hang out with her again so I can live in my fantasy world of there aren't giant evil networks of monsters. Wait, side note, where are you right now? That's not your studio.
I'm visiting my parents. I'm taking care of their dogs.
Oh, beautiful. What kind of dogs?
Puggles. I'll show you. I'll send you pictures after. They're so damn cute.
Dante's going to throw a picture up on the screen so everyone so can see.
But have fun at your date. Teach her what the National Guard is and that it's bad, that you should not have the National Guard in city.
Could you imagine if I just make some sort of reference to that and then she just starts spitting on like legal policy about state level national, like she starts talking about the red states who are sending National Guards to DC and saying that all of them are trying to, she just knows every single thing about American politics. It just happens to be that her one blind spot was Epstein. Like, you know, she and I get in an argument about India and China meeting up and talking about the trade war with the US, and she has more opinions on the matter than I do. It just happens to be that she missed the whole Epstein news.
You know what? Smash. Go for
it. Smash. Everybody, thank you so much for tuning in. There's a moral to this video, by the way. Keep talking about Epstein. Don't let Trump's behavior take your eye off the ball. We finally have something we can win on. We finally have something that can actually like drive a wedge between very important bases of support for Trump. So let's not miss that opportunity. You know,
bring it up every date. Every date you have, bring it up.
Every time you're on a date, talk about the giant evil human trafficking of children network with Bulwark, Mockley Media, and Midas. We're Cam and Adam. Thanks so much for tuning in.